are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When a medical mistake causes you an injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. We're going to get into the AFC wild card picture, where it stands. Now that everybody's got five games left to go, all the bye weeks are over, it is time to make that stretch in the final, you know, just under a third of the season. 216-578-0850. Let us know what you think about this Browns team. How many games do they have to win of these final five to lock up a playoff berth as well? And we're grading the team. We're going to get into our offensive grades a little later in this hour. What position would get the highest grade from you on Sunday? What position would get the lowest? And what grade would you give Brian Hoyer, the quarterback of the Browns? He won the game with that game-winning drive, but also many times could have given that game away. So we got to see what happens there. Let us know, obviously, 216-578-0850. Let's go to the phones now. We've got our guy Stan in Brooklyn. Stan, welcome to the show.
I look forward to this show every day.
Oh, well, thank you, man.
We love that, Stan. We look forward to talking to you every day.
You know, seriously, I want some good news out of Buffalo, because in 1990 I attended a game between the Browns and Buffalo at Old Municipal Stadium on 11-4-90. That year we went 3-13, and we lost to Buffalo 42-0.
Well, that
was the first.
Now
let me finish, please. That was the first time that I was ever in the dog pound, the bleachers, where I saw almost as equal amount of Buffalo fans as there was Cleveland Browns. I pray that we can go to Buffalo and turn the tables here, and we can come out 36-0. But you know what? With the enormous amount of injuries that we have, I'm deeply concerned about this game. I really am. I want your thoughts on this, please.
Yeah, I think that this is a game to be concerned about. The Buffalo Bills 6-5 on the season. The Browns obviously 7-4. They had a dominant performance last night. And really, when I look at this Bills team, what gives me the most concern or cause for concern is just how good they are up front defensively.
Yes.
And I think their front four is as good as any in the league, with Marcell Dareus, Mario Williams, Jerry Hughes, and Kyle Williams. They're all playing at phenomenally high levels. They are all graded out incredibly high at their respective positions. And that's why I think this Bills team is so tough, because when you're the Browns, it comes down to being able to run the football and control the line of scrimmage. And right now, when you look at this Buffalo Bills team, they do a phenomenal job of controlling the line of scrimmage. They're giving up just 3.9 yards per carry, but they also do a great job of getting to quarterbacks. We know last year they were second in the league in sacks and wreaking havoc on opposing teams, and that's why they have the number one pass defense right now in the National Football League. The fifth rank. They're right near the top at 213 per game, and they already can get to the quarterback. 46 sacks on the season for the Buffalo Bills, Matt. That is most in the NFL. Nobody else is even in the 40s.
And you're absolutely right, and I think that is my biggest cause for concern as well. And a lot of the reason why is not only for all those reasons that you just listed, but you look back in our schedule in the last five or six games, and the two teams that wreaked the most havoc up front were Jacksonville and their ability to stop the run and put pressure on Brian Hoyer to force inaccurate throws. With or without Josh Gordon, didn't matter. And then also, too, the Houston Texans, their activity level, how physical they were, and that is something that, you know, that was my number one catalyst for why we lost that Texans. It wasn't that we came out flat, it's they imposed their will on us, and we could not match them physically up front.
Yeah, they beat us up, and that's certainly the fear you have going into a game like this, is that with that front, that's what they can do, because we knew it was a good matchup for our line with Atlanta, and that bore itself out very clearly, but now you go against this Bills team, and these guys up front, as I said, as good as any in the league. Dareus already 9 sacks, Hughes 9.5, Williams 12. So they have three guys. Listen, Paul Kruger's having a great year for us. 8 sacks leads the team. They have three guys with more sacks than that already.
That's insane. And again, it's something that Kyle Shanahan will have to address. And I think in the run game, I don't believe, as much as you'd like to have confidence in our offensive line, this is not one of those teams or one of those games where we can say, well, they know we're going to line up and run the football, and we're just going to do what we do, and we're going to push them off the ball. That's not the case. They're that good. At the same way Jacksonville was unexpectedly, and also Houston. And I think what Kyle Shanahan's issue is this week is, how are we going to use their tendencies or some of the negative film that this team or that front line has? How are we going to use that against them and recreate those plays? And I think that's what today's going to be used for. Today's going to be like simply orchestrating the game plan so that when guys come in tomorrow. But yesterday, as they dove into Bills film, what I would have done if I were a coach is look at all the chunk runs or 8-plus yard runs that teams have had against this front, and in what sets did they do it, in what personnel did they do it, and why? Was it someone missed a gap, or was it someone over-pursued? Well, let's use all those tendencies against them to recreate or manufacture that same exact run and see if we can do the same thing. And with a mix of the, that's not deviating from the zone scheme, that's within the zone scheme, but we have to be able to recreate or replicate what another team did successfully against them.
You have to, and while they have had their issues at times, Kyle Orton has stepped into this team, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, has not thrown an interception since back in Week 7 against Minnesota, 4 straight games without a turnover there, so that's going to challenge RD, which has 15 turnovers in the last 7 games alone. So hopefully you can change that, but I'll tell you what. That was tough for me right there. Stan just gave me the business, Matt Wilhelm.
Yes, he did.
Stan from Brooklyn was like,
excuse me, Nathan, I'm not done talking yet.
You, sir, will bite your tongue. I thought Stan was our guy. Now I'm for sure convinced it is your dad, because he only comes in and praises you, and then now he's saying, you know, he just gave me the business.
I've never been to Brooklyn. Actually, I have been to Brooklyn, but I've never resided in Brooklyn. I will say that.
Let me finish, please. Sorry, Stan. Stan, I will always respect you going forward. 216-578-0850. Call us up. We're going to take a look at the AFC wildcard picture right now. If the playoffs were today, here's who's in. New England wins the AFC East. Denver wins the AFC West. They're your 1-2 seed. Cincy would win the AFC North, and Indianapolis would win the AFC South. The wild cards, if it started today, would be both from the AFC West, Kansas City and San Diego. Kansas City wins the tiebreak over Baltimore, best on best winning percentage in conference games. The division tiebreak was initially used to eliminate San Diego. Division tiebreak used to eliminate Cleveland and Pittsburgh as well. So Kansas City and San Diego, as it sets up now, Baltimore at 7, and Kansas City and San Diego, by the way, both 7-4. Baltimore 7-4 wins the tiebreak over Cleveland and Pittsburgh based on head-to-head win percentage. Now that can change because we get them week 17. Pittsburgh wins the tiebreak over Cleveland based on best win percentage in common games. So the Browns currently are ranked 9th in the AFC. Miami is 10th at 6-5, Buffalo 11th and 6-5, and then Houston 12th at 5-6, and obviously they're head-to-head over the Browns, but you don't want to get down that far. So this game with Buffalo, massive implications, not only for this year, not only for the AFC North standings, not only for the wild card standings, but also for next year's draft, because you have the Bills draft pick and you want to push that pick down as far as you can.
You absolutely do. And I think also, too, the one other tiebreaker, as we see, as you look at the games coming up for our division opponents, the Steelers actually play at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. So that works in Pittsburgh's favor from a tiebreaker standpoint moving forward. But ultimately, we can talk about this until we're blue in the face, because there are so many scenarios of what needs to happen. What we know is the Browns have 5 remaining games, and they need to go above 500 in these football games to be in the conversation. And that's crazy. As crazy as it seems, that's winning 10 games keeps us in the conversation, but is not a lock to make the playoffs by any means.
I think they're going to have to get to 11 for it to be an absolute lock.
I agree with you.
I would feel like should get you in 9. You still have a chance, but I think it's going to be tough. It's very crowded.
You need a ton
right
of
now.
Help with 9.
It's crowded in the AFC, as there are 9 teams at 7-4 or better, 11 teams at 6-5 or better. I mean, how is this a conference that has 11 teams with winning records and only 5 teams with losing records, Matt Wilhelm?
It's parity. And I think, Roger Goodell, the more teams that are in the playoff race, puts more butts in seats, sells more jerseys, more hot dogs, more beer, more parking. Everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy. Let's go to James in Fort Lauderdale rather quickly. What's up, James?
Yo, Nathan, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yo, listen, you're very knowledgeable. I like everything you say. It's on accurate. But there's no way the Browns can lose from now on. There's not a team out there that can beat them. They just play to the level of their competition sometimes.
But I think that's true. But anybody can beat anybody in the NFL.
I don't believe that, Nathan. I think this team has got something going on that, you know what I'm saying?
They need some to magic. Get out
with. Yeah, it's something. I don't know what it is. It's something. But I can see them winning out from here on.
Listen, from your mouth to God's ears, James, let it happen. I'm not going to complain if the Browns
neither am
go
I.
Win their final five games and finish the season at 12-4 and are one of the top two seeds in the AFC. I'm not going to. I hope
well,
that happens.
Part of that magic is, and again, I think it's a part of the new Browns culture, and part of playing like a Brown is the effort that they play with, the wherewithal to keep themselves in football games. But and also, too, it's, as we've seen in years past, that other team that we've played has made that one play or two plays to swing momentum, to convert a 3rd-and-14. Well, this year we're making those plays, you know, and that's us on the high side. And again, those are 50-50, you know, each week. So that's why I think moving forward, it's going to be very tough to say that we're going to run the table, because running the table means we're going to finish, you know, on a 6-game win streak. And again, it's realistic. Sure, it's within reason, but just being very optimistic, it's probably not reality. But to be very real, I think winning 3 is 100% easy. And I would see in my eyes also just even 4 would be great.
Obviously, 4 would be great. I'll take 3. Ultimately, 9-7 we would have been happy with. But at this point, you want to get there, get to 10-6, and have a real shot to get into the playoffs. And that would be a good thing. And speaking of doing good things, we'll be joined by the Browns vice president in just a second of community outreach, Miss Renee Harvey, who will join us right here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, talk about what the Browns are doing today to support this community, what they're going to do on Giving Tuesday in just a week from now as well. So that's coming up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on this Thanksgiving week.